Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today I have Carl Seeger Henry in the studio with me. Carl's new to the 9/11 Truth Movement, and he's developed some ideas or a plan to raise people's awareness about 9/11. So I thought it'd be a good idea to have him come on the show today and share how he got into 9/11 and then what his plans are. And keep in mind that these plans, it sounds like everyone could do across the country. So maybe he'll be giving us all some good ideas. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cheryl, for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Could you start by telling us a little bit about who you are and then when and why you got involved in 9/11?
Sure. I live in Newington, and I've been in this area for many years. I was a school teacher in the Newington school systems, and then for 42 years, I became a professional singer, songwriter, musician, record producer, media producer, and that's been my career pretty much throughout my life. I recently semi-retired. I retired from singing and performing. So I have some time now to put into some things I want to get passionate about. And I've become aware recently, maybe 15, 16 months ago, I became aware of what some of the work that you folks are doing. And I was very intrigued and I was called to action. And I'm trying to educate myself as much as possible and seeing what I can contribute to getting the truth out there.
Was there any particular piece of evidence or facts that you heard that kind of put you over the edge into 9/11 truth?
Well, what I went through, I think, is what a lot of people go through. They have a sinking feeling that something's not quite right, you know, that something's not quite adding up. But people are so busy working their two or three jobs just trying to get through life that they don't really have the time to put that kind of thought into it. And unless they make the effort, they'll never hear about it because the corporate media, you know, they don't tell you anything about it. I have so many of my friends, when we've even brought up the subject of Building 7, for instance, they've never heard of it. You know, 10 years later, they've never heard, they thought there were two buildings. That's it. So people don't know it unless they're exposed to it, and they're not exposed to it unless they do some work. I know in my case, I always had that feeling that something doesn't quite sound right, and I finally, at one point, I listened to WWUH all the time. I love music, I love the diversity of the genre, I love the public affairs program, so I listened to it frequently, and I guess it was not last April, but the April before, you folks hosted a symposium with the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth.
You remember Building 7.
Right. And I heard you doing a public service announcement. I said, you know, I'd love to hear what these professionals have to say. Because when I was sitting there watching this as it was going down, I had two thoughts. Number one, I didn't think a building should come down in that fashion. Unless it was a controlled demolition. I didn't think that consciously. But that doesn't look right that a plane would cause that to happen. So I kind of always had that doubt about it. And then, you know, where's the Air Force? There's no Air Force. There's no defense. How in the world could that possibly be? Something attacked the Pentagon? The most guarded area in the world? And like four things got attacked? What happened?
Was that the strongest evidence for you?
Well, those two basic observations led me to say, you know, I've got to look into this more. Because finally, there's some professional people that know a lot more about structure and engineering. I'm a lay person. You know, I got a C in high school physics. But I know enough that I have a sense of how the world works. And you have these 1,500 architects and engineers telling us that the official story is impossible. It's just scientifically impossible. So then you start looking into it. And you know how it is. The deeper you look, the more complicated it gets. This leads to this. This leads to that. And you're left with just kind of an overwhelming sense of, holy cow, you know, what have we gotten into here? People have got to know about this. This is really, really important. This is why we're in all the wars we're in.
Right.
You know, the war on terror. All this kind of stuff stems from 9/11. So we have to, you know, I think we have a civic duty and a patriotic duty to educate ourselves and do what we can do to make things better.
Yeah. And the reason I asked if there was one specific thing for you, because I think 9/11 falls apart at any point where you enter it, be it Flight 93 or the towers or the Pentagon or
right.
Even the geopolitics of Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, the story just falls apart. And even the 9/11 Commission, if you look at it,
it's a joke.
But for me, it was the geopolitics. It was when I read that there was trying to put a gas pipeline through Afghanistan prior to 9/11 and that the Taliban wasn't working with us, and they were invited to Bush's ranch and all of that, and,
right.
and wined and dined, and then they still wouldn't make the deal, and I think they had said to them, if you don't work with us, we're going to give you either a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs, and they wouldn't work with us, so they got the carpet of bombs, and they were even willing to give us Osama bin Laden if we could give them evidence that he was guilty of
yes.
a crime, and yeah. we couldn't provide them with any. And then they appointed Karzai as the president of Afghanistan, and he had worked for Unocal, the oil company. So mm-hmm. then I said, well, it's all coming together there too nicely for them. And so that's kind of what turned me around on it. And I've heard other people say it's Building 7 or the Pentagon or something, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all of it.
Yeah.
It's all combined. It's overwhelming. There's just so mm-hmm. much that you have to consider. And the thing that I know when I heard your PSAs the April before last, the other thing that struck me was that your radio station was the only place I heard announcing this event. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it listed in any papers. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it in any other public information.
Right.
I heard nothing except for your radio station. So if I wasn't listening to your radio station, I never would have heard about it. And I see things at University of Hartford all the time. UHART's it's a big-time school. I mean, there's events constantly, and they're always announced, and they're well-attended, and they're well-publicized. You could have a Hello Kitty symposium, and yeah. you would have gotten 50 mentions in the press. And with this, there was nothing.
Thing. The conspiracy of silence.
Yes. I mean, yeah. that alone is like, you know, gee, that's...
I have to say, I learned a great deal through studying 9/11 about the corporate media and even some of the left-leaning media about what they cover mm-hmm. and don't cover and
yeah.
who's controlling them, because there's just no excuse for them not covering the 1,700 now plus architects and engineers.
How can they not?
Who are demanding a new investigation yeah. and saying it's impossible, the official story is impossible.
Right.
And then you have the 9/11 commissioners themselves saying that we don't have the truth. And that never gets reported either.
No.
So I've learned a great deal about who to trust and not to trust. And it's been a sad education, but
It is. But what you know, once you start looking at it, you have to, how do you ignore it? You can't ignore it. I mean,
right,
there's just so
right.
much at stake. We have to figure out what we can do and do it. And mm-hmm. it's a matter of if enough people start becoming aware, I think change can happen. But it starts with awareness. People have got to be educated. They have to hear what they're not hearing.
Right. And coming from being in the 9/11 truth movement, I believe the official story early on. And then I had a friend who kept telling me that there was another more information mm-hmm. there going on that pointed to an inside job, more or less.
Yeah. Now, about what year was this? How far?
That's about 2002, early 2002.
Okay, so you're pretty soon after
yeah.
it.
And so I started reading information, and then I saw that there was an international hearing in Toronto about 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they did three around the country because there were mm-hmm. people who were on this early on. So I went to it, and there I met Barry Zwicker and Kyle mm-hmm. Hentz, who helped make the movie To Press for Truth. And there were other speakers there. And then once I did that, I said, wow, there's something really to this.
Right.
It really clicked. And then I kind of just kept studying and reading it. And in 2007, I got contacted by some national people who wanted to do a conference in the Hartford area.
Ah.
And so we put on the one at St. Joseph College called 9/11 Family Members, First Responders, and Experts Speak Out, where Richard Gage was there. We had Ed Asner stopped in because mm-hmm. he was doing a play and gave a 10-minute speech because he supports
right.
the 9/11 truth. Yeah, he's really fabulous. And we had Stephen Jones and William Pepper, who did the Martin Luther King trial, which mm-hmm. I know you're somewhat interested in. So we had that conference. And then Mike DeRosa had interviewed us on the show for the conference, and then we got talking, he and I, and we decided to have a show on 9/11, and that's how I got started in 2008.
Now, did you know Mike beforehand?
Yes, I knew Mike from the anti-war movement and seeing him over the years at different events. And I think we had John Perkins come and speak through the anti-war movement, and I hooked up Mike to do an interview with him and that kind of thing. So,
right.
so we knew each other from that. And so it's been 4 years of doing the show now,
right.
four and a half.
And then I started listening to your show, and so for me it's been a year and a half, but you have terrific variety of aspects of the whole movement that you cover, and you do your homework, and you're articulate, and you make sense, and you're logical. And I'm saying, you know, if this woman can put this effort together, there's things I know I can do. Let me just try to figure out what I can do and try to contribute it.
And see, that's fabulous. It's so great to see a new person come in with all mm-hmm. this energy and want to do something now in 2011, maybe you started getting interested, which is really fabulous. So now you have been thinking about this, and you have sort of an action plan.
Well, kind of, yeah. Well, I think the strategy that I think that we should take is local, local, local. A lot of times you hear, gee, if we could get one big story in the major corporate media, it could turn all this around, or if somebody could mention it at a convention or something. And that's great, but it hasn't happened. Let's face it, it's probably not. I mean, even public broadcasting, it's pulling teeth to get anything, even on public broadcasting, because their policy is all things considered except 9/11 truth. And it's tough. So you have to find other ways to do it. And through some of the ventures that I've been developing, I've had a chance to do some experience with our Newington Cable Access Television Studio and the whole Access Television System, which is really terrific. And yes, it's very small. It doesn't have huge viewing audiences yet, but it does reach into every television set that's hooked up to cable in America. So it's there. It's a means of getting a message into that home.
Right. And is it correct that if you go to them and say, I want to do the show or I have this video I want you to play, they have to do it?
They basically have to do it. Yeah. How much they'll do will depend upon
or
persuasion and other things. But they're obligated. They have an obligation by charter to, if you do the right forms and you give them the media that they want, a 59 and a half minute show as a download or a DVD or whatever they ask for, if you do that, and it doesn't take much. I mean, it's a form and the right thing, they will put it on. And in conjunction with that, if you go really local, maybe we can get some press. Maybe we can get some listings in local papers, like, for instance, Newington Life, which comes in my mailbox every month. It's a nice paper. Everyone reads it because it's all about Newington.
Right. And all the little towns have these papers.
So many of them do. I mean, they're really tiny. They're not big corporate media deals, but the little stuff I think can add up.
I think there is a taboo about speaking about 9/11. I see it at work, and it's in, obviously the corporate media and even the left-wing media are not covering it. They're sort of like, don't go there, don't touch it. So I think we need to break that. We need to break it by just being willing to talk about it ourselves and get it out there and not shy away from it because people don't want to hear it or don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know, if we get some shows on and we get a little bit of publicity beforehand, slowly but surely, I think enough people would be intrigued if they saw it, if they knew about it, that they might tune in. And if it's on two or three or four times in a month, we may get some people that were exposed to it that haven't been exposed before. You and I were at the recent
Richard Gage event?
Yeah. What was the title again?
9/11 Explosive Evidence Experts Speak
That's right,
Out.
Right. And he came to West Hartford Town Hall, what was it, about three Sundays ago?
It was on June 17th.
Right. And they have a whole documentary that's very nicely produced. And they would love nothing better than to have people try to get that documentary on all their access stations.
Right. And they've even have an earlier documentary called Blueprint for Truth, where they've examined the three towers that fell, all the science of it. And they have a 60-minute, a 30-minute, and I even think a 10-minute version of that because they want you to take it and put it on your cable access. So
it's available.
Yeah.
And that show is already done. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of doing the logistics and making it happen.
And if anyone would like a copy of either of those movies, you can contact me at cheryl@ct911truth.org, and I'll send you a copy to put on your cable access show. Now, Carl, you had a plan, a bigger, because like Mike and I have done a cable access show on West Hartford, and people can go there to their website. It's whctv.org, and check out the shows there. And I know that
Are they archived?
They're archived.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Watch them, And Gary Fox does his show in Middletown. Yep. But you have a bigger plan for it. What's your plan?
Well, in addition to airing existing documentaries, we'd kind of like to produce an original show, and we want to call it Truth for Peace. We want to cover the topics that we don't think are covered sufficiently in corporate media. At this point, I would say maybe half of the shows would be related to 9/11, but there's any list of things that people have never heard about that they need to. So I'd like to produce this show, possibly with some original music. It would be nice to have that in the presentation as well, but covering a variety of subjects. The first subject we'd love to do this September, of course, is the 9/11 subject. And it would be a 57 and a half minute show, maybe working some local experts where we can actually do some interviews, play clips that are available to us. I think the one thing that you and I were talking about recently was the clip of Jane Stanley, the BBC reporter, who was reporting from Manhattan at 5 o'clock on September 11th. She was standing there in front of Building 7 saying that it had just come down, and the building was behind her. And she said the same thing at 5:12, that the Solomon Building, Building 7, had just come down, and it's behind her. And it went on the BBC. And of course, the BBC, the thing you can watch on YouTube, you just have to YouTube Jane Stanley 9/11, and it would come up. Hopefully it's still up there. Apparently that was taken from someone's home recording, because wouldn't you know it, the BBC lost all the master tapes that day. There's not a shred of footage to be found. Mm-hmm. Something about the janitor, it all went out.
Yeah.
But it's available, and you can see it. And she wasn't the only one. There was also a CNN reporter, and I've heard reports of one other, although I haven't seen that. So I think three major news outlets were premature
and
in that
me,
reporting.
If you just know that one piece about 9/11, you have to have questions.
Yeah, how can you not?
There's questions there. So how could she possibly have known in advance that building was coming down? Building 7 wasn't hit by a plane.
And actually, I did some research into that, and it turns out that somebody finally found the general manager of the BBC that was on duty that day and asked them, what's he going to say? He delivered, I think it was a 10-page explanation that was unreadable that basically boiled down to it was a chaotic day. There's a lot of chaos.
So all that chaos made her have psychic powers.
Yeah. And the gentleman that was interviewing her, the anchor person in the BBC, some people in the truth movement have tracked him down. He's retired now. But he admitted that he could see why some of the truthers might have reason to have questions. He acknowledged that he understand why they would have questions. And apparently Jane Stanley is in a missionary in deep, darkest Africa right now. She couldn't take it anymore because people were hounding her endlessly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's the last I heard.
Interesting. When they were showing that footage and she was talking and it finally became clear to the producers that Building 7 was standing behind her, TV all went fuzzy and it just faded out. And they said, we're having technical difficulty.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about not just doing this, say, in your own community, but you would want to do a cable access show that is aired on every town in Connecticut. Tell us how you would do that.
Well, you know, just as the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth have documentaries that are available nationwide, there's no reason why we couldn't put together an hour, kind of like a variety show that covers various topics and have that available nationwide and perhaps encourage other people in other localities to do it. But that same show could go anywhere as well. And, you know, whatever kind of experts we get on various topics, I would think that would be of interest to people in Texas or Nebraska or whatever. It's not.
You had talked about in Connecticut that there's actually a way to get it on every cable access show in Connecticut. How would you do that?
My understanding, this is from my friends at NCTV, is that in Newington, for instance, they are part of a six-town system. It's an access system. And they have Connecticut has a collection of systems, which it looks like it's about 45 or so. Newington is under the Manchester system, and I think includes Rocky Hill, Glastonbury, South Windsor, Manchester, us, and one other town. So I, as a citizen of Newington, could fill out the forms and ask Manchester to put us on in all those six towns. Well, if you had a person who was volunteering in various communities, they could do the same thing. So in theory, if you had 45 volunteers putting a couple hours into it, we could certainly be able to get the 9/11 architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, get their documentaries up. They're already existing. We just have to do paperwork.
So if you wanted to do your show, you could also, if you had people in those different towns, be willing to put it on there, you could do that
also. They said, we'd like to have you air Truth for Peace. And they would be obligated to do that.
So how can people reach you if they would like to volunteer to be your contact in these different towns?
Yeah, we have to network. We have to get the word out in this regard. And I can be reached by email at truthforpeace, that's F-O-R, truthforpeace, at cox.net. And my phone number is 860-667-1116. Also, if you're a musician that has any kind of urge to write any kind of material about these topics, I'm hoping to put together some collaborations to do some original music as well. The email address is truthforpeace@cox.net. And in the process of networking, there's a lot of things that can be done. I don't do anything with Facebook, but I understand that Facebook is really, really important because my wife and my daughters tell me that all the time. And there are people that love Facebook. And it'd be great if Truth for Peace had a Facebook presence. And it would be also great if some of the stuff we put together got aired on YouTube. So there's means of getting it out there. Just a matter of putting together the effort to do what has to be done.
So if any of you would like to volunteer in your town to help Carl get the show out in your area, again, his email is truthforpeace@cox.net.
Right. And we'll keep them updated with all the things we're doing, and we'll keep them in the loop.
And once the show is done, you would make copies and email or send it to
whatever.
Them.
Yeah, we'd have to figure out how the logistics of doing it would change from system to system. But it's doable, and it's cheap. It wouldn't cost much. It's very doable.
Right. That sounds like a great idea, Carl.
Well, thanks.
Great. And again, this leads me to talking again about the media. And as I say, since I'm learning about 9/11 and I know how much their misinformation or lack of information they're giving us about 9/11 alone, I mean, you have to question what else aren't they telling us or are they giving us disinformation on? So I think it's been really an eye-opener for me.
Right.
And now whenever I hear anything on the corporate media or even sometimes the left-leaning media, but if you look at Amy Goodman, she doesn't cover 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And The Nation magazine doesn't write about the truth about 9/11.
Right.
You have to wonder who their funders are and what's going on there, because there's certainly a conspiracy of silence.
Right. And what other important stories aren't we being told? The one of them that comes to mind that I just learned about probably only a year ago that I was astonished that I'd never heard of. And I'm not alone. Virtually no one has ever heard of this, is a man named Lloyd Jowers. And Lloyd Jowers, the King family, brought Lloyd Jowers into the courtroom in a United States District Court in Memphis in 1999, and they prosecuted him for the wrongful death of Martin Luther King. It was a civil case. They sued him for $100, which I guess was the burial fees that the King family had to endure. So this trial was held in a United States District Court in Memphis. It took a month. There were about 70 witnesses. The 12 jury members found Jowers guilty in 59 minutes. He was found guilty in conspiracy with other government agencies, the Memphis Police, the CIA, the FBI, elements of military intelligence, a good-sized list of co-conspirators. And that knowledge is just, it never made anything. If you Google, and I just did this, if you do Lloyd Jowers with ABC News, nothing. Lloyd Jowers, Washington Post, nothing. Lloyd Jowers, New York Times, nothing. Lloyd Jowers, CNN, nothing.
You know, when William Pepper was here, he was the attorney for the trial. Yeah. He said that the media banned their reporters from entering the trial so they couldn't report on it. And there was one, I think he was from ABC, who went anyway to cover the trial, and they fired him.
Yeah.
And then William Pepper had to work to get him his job back, which he did. But so that's how they censored it. They just wouldn't let anyone in to cover it. I mean, that's shocking to me.
We have a national holiday named after this man, and someone was found guilty in his wrongful death. How can we not know that? It's stunning. And there's so much of that when you look at it, you say, good grief. No one's ever mentioned Lloyd Jowers, ever.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the invisible man. Right. He was found guilty in King's wrongful death.
If anyone wants to hear William Pepper talking about that trial, I did a couple shows on that, and you can go to ct911truth.org, and I believe those shows are archived there, or you can go to radioforall.net, and you may find it there. I'm not sure which one of the archives it's at. Carl, is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners?
Yes, actually, there's something else that I've been thinking about that's really been irritating me lately. And that's when you do see things in the corporate media, truthers are lumped together with other groups that kind of put truthers in a disparaging light. For instance, I noticed that here in Central Connecticut area, we have the Hartford Courant, and one of the columnists on the Hartford Courant is a humor columnist named Jim Shea. And Jim Shea had a column early in June in which he basically equated 9/11 truth people with people that cite Elvis. That's typical.
Right.
And then on the 4th of July, that's appropriate, on the 4th of July, Leonard Pitts, in his column that was printed in the Hartford Courant, his column called On the Left, let me read this, a couple of lines here that were part of his essay. An understanding that a lie repeated long enough, loudly enough, becomes in the minds of those who need to believe it, truth. That is a lesson of birthers and truthers. So Leonard Pitts is basically saying that people that question the official 9/11 story need to believe that. It fulfills some kind of a basic psychic need that we need to do it. Like the truthers, the birthers need to feel that Obama's not really a citizen.
And so I would reverse that and say that the people who won't look at the evidence produced by the 9/11 truth movement, and I think Leonard Pitts fits into this category, because he does not want to take on 9/11 and look at the truth, look at the facts, because he needs to believe the official story because it's much more comforting.
It definitely is the path of least resistance for him.
Yeah.
And the last thing I saw was on July 16th of this year at the Hartford Courant, the Zippy cartoon done by Connecticut resident Bill Griffith. Zippy and his friend Claude are having a conversation, and I guess they're trying to prepare their minds to watch Celebrity Apprentice. And they're doing any number of things they can do to lower their EQ sufficiently to be ideally suited to watch Celebrity Apprentice. That's like the joke. And in it, they mentioned that things that you can believe or think about that will lower your intelligence are such things as how the Twin Towers were destroyed, the story behind that, and that Barack Obama is really an alien. So Zippy's kind of comparing truthers with the people that believe Obama was born on another planet. You know, that's kind of harsh.
Just for the record, I don't believe that.
I don't think Obama was born on another planet. I don't know. So I'm thinking to myself, now here's something we can do. I've seen this before. I just started clipping, making just three of them here in a month. But I've seen this repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And it really aggravates me because it's just not right. People, either they're unaware of what's going on, they're not smart enough to understand it, which is crazy because, Mr. Pitts and Bill Griffin, they're brilliant guys. There's no question about that. They don't want to believe it, or they're afraid of losing their jobs and they don't want to rock the boat. So I think the only thing we can safely do is just assume that they're unaware. And maybe if every time we saw something like this, we wrote a letter and tried to communicate that sentiment to the people that are making these statements, you know, the Elvis sightings, the birthers, and the whatever, that maybe we can persuade people to give it a look and give 9/11 truth at least a little bit of thought. So if I may, I can read you this short letter that I wrote to Zippy's founder, Bill Griffith.
Sure.
And this is where he thought that he and Claude discussed that you can lower your IQ points by studying 9/11 mm-hmm. truth. Dear Mr. Griffith, I was very disappointed with your observation that studying the 9/11 truth movement will result in a lowering of at least 10 IQ points. The 9/11 attacks were one of the most heinous crimes in our history, and there has never been a real criminal investigation. They were the premise for our continuous, endless wars. I implore you, as a civic duty, to give the issue at least a cursory study. Start with 911truth.org and click on the top 40 reasons to doubt the official story of September 11, 2001. 40 reasons. 40 reasons to doubt. Not one or two or, you know, 40 reasons. That's just only the top 40. Another illuminating site is the Architects and Engineers 9/11 Truth site, ae911truth.org, and it's run by the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Right now, I think the latest count is up over about 1,700 members of that.
1,700 plus.
These are professionals. These are architects and engineers. This is not me with a high school physics course arguing. This is what they do. They design buildings. And they contend that the official conspiracy story is absolutely impossible. Like, for instance, they say, of course, that the government tells us that the Building 7 at the World Trade Center, the steel-framed skyscraper, that's the one that wasn't hit by the plane, collapsed at virtual free-fall speed into its own footprint and because of office fires. The architects and engineers argue that that can't possibly be true, and they've convinced me. Also, many family members of the victims are still demanding a real investigation, and I believe that disparaging their quest is unfair. I entreat you out of a sense of patriotism to give the issue an hour of research and thought. If your curiosity is not piqued enough to look farther, then so be it. And thank you very much for considering my request. Sincerely, Carl Sager Henry. I think that's a tone that we can take, that can't hurt.
So you're saying assume they are unaware.
Right.
Ask them to become aware.
Right.
Give them places to go.
Right.
And then if they still don't want to consider it, then
well,
so be it.
Well, we can't do much at that
right,
point.
Right.
But
if you haven't looked at the evidence and you're putting
right.
this down. And
that's unfair, especially to the victims' families. I mean, that's terrible.
I want to follow up a little bit on what Carl is saying. Time is not on our side. We're coming up on the 11th anniversary. We are losing our civil liberties. The money on the wars is crippling our country. We are spending trillions of dollars, and we're killing millions of people. We've already killed millions of people with no end in sight. So I really want to ask you to be active. Don't be passive. Learn yourself. Do something. Contact Carl and put the movies on your cable access station. As I said, time is not on our side. If we all collectively do something, we may get somewhere, but we can't do it if only a few people are doing something. So please get involved. If not you, then who? Carl, thank you very much for being on the show and sharing your information.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, for having me and putting up with my my opinions for a while.
It's a pleasure. You've just been listening to a conversation with Carl Sager Henry. If you'd like to help him out with his plan to air 9/11 movies and his new cable access show called Truth for Peace, on every cable access station in the state of Connecticut or any other state, you can contact him at truthforpeace@cox.net or at 860-667-1116. And again, that's 860-667-1116. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.